That seems to be where this today's passage is going. The disciples start praising God. It was a lot of work for the people behind the scenes, which Eloise has highlighted. But the ones who did the work were the ones who saw and understood what God had done for the people who were gathered there. There were 13 guys invited to this wedding without a plus one, as far as we can tell. And maybe all of the 13, all of the 12 were not there yet. But Jesus and his mother are at a local wedding. We don't know who it was. We don't know what it was. People say that this story reflects Jesus' support for the institution of marriage. I don't see it. For me, the clearest support of Jesus for the institution of marriage and for procreation in marriage would have been to get married and have 12 children. So he is attending a wedding in his community. And Mary's concern may have been for the hosts who would look bad for the community, or that lack of wine to start out with not enough would be a bad sign for the marriage. Were the hosts her relatives? There's a lot of legend built around this story. You just start thinking about it. How about this? How about that? Did Jesus and the 12 not bring wine with them? You were supposed to bring it to the wedding. So maybe they were, young and didn't understand, or they didn't have any money, so they came without wine, and so then they've got 13 guys, and now you're not running out of wine. There's even a story that they were drinking too much, and they were using too much of their share. But whatever it was, and I don't know if has ever a person who's inebriated been portrayed in this sanctuary before? I was surprised at that. I just give Abel a headscarf, and he turns it into all kinds of things. Woody did a good job looking at his vest, wondering what it was. That was pretty good. We had a nice. But why did Mary feel responsible for the fact that there wasn't enough wine? Whatever, all of our minds, our thoughts, experiences, our home life, we go in all kinds of speculations on that one. But whatever it was, Mary was aware of Jesus' ability to provide. And Jesus was aware of his obedience to God's time. He had just been baptized. He's just fresh out of the water, and he's with his newly called disciples. Did Jesus go against what God wanted for him by yielding to his mother? Protestant readings of this passage identify Mary with the church. Brothers and sisters, whether it's a good idea or a bad idea, you get to ask Jesus for what you think would be important in the situation. As a Protestant, Mary doesn't seem to worry much about what Jesus thinks. She says, there's a need here, and you need to take care of it. So Protestant interpretations would say, you're allowed to do that. You might not get the situation right, and Jesus might see things differently, but go ahead and ask. So it's kind of a permission thing. And I'm not from the Roman Catholic tradition, but there's a much more position where Mary's request to Jesus is a special avenue to the heart of God. 60 times 20 or 30 gallons, 120, 180 gallons of water hauled by the servants. So I'm thinking, what's 30 gallons? It's a standard 30-gallon aquarium. Do you have a home aquarium? Your kids ever have an aquarium? That's about 30 gallons. Or the trash cans that we buy, 30 gallons is a large trash can, jar. So it's more than your your jar, because it's the trash can goes over the edges a little bit. That's about 30 gallons, something like that, and six of those. And Eloise has ably highlighted for you about how much that would be. Now, this was not plonk, this was not box wine, but it was good wine that came out of the ceremonial washing jars. Was John trying to contrast the abundance and the blessing of good wine compared to the water of the Old Testament ceremonial washings? Possibly. There are just so many evocations. There's so many ideas that say, like, whoa, we can all just sort of build a castle out of all of the ideas that come out of this. Almost certainly, this one is a pretty good speculation, that John was thinking of the overflowing food and wine at the table set at the end of time when God spreads a banquet for the world. Probably that abundance was in the mind of John. Only the servants, plus Mary, Jesus, and the disciples knew where the wine had come from. The master of the banquet and the guests only enjoyed it. Did the host ever find out? You know, in a small town, they talk, right? So it's hard. In that day, and the people that Jesus' family knew, they probably didn't have servants. So it says servants, but it was probably people that were help, like caterers, people that were neighborhood people that were helping. Jesus' father was like a small contractor. He did carpentry work. So he was in big homes. So when he tells his parable, he talks about landowners and people with resources and the heir of this. But his own life would have been not big houses and manors with servants. So probably they were local people, and people tell stories, right, in a village. So probably people heard about it. But the knowledge of God's glory doesn't come from the top, oh, thank you, oh, master. But I don't mean Master Jesus, of course, yes, but human master. It comes from the people who do the work. That's where the knowledge and the glory and the praise of God is rising up in the kingdom of God. The disciples put their faith in him as a result of the glory revealed in this miraculous provision. The story should be read as a continuation of the calling of the disciples. You come follow me, and here, come to this wedding. The disciples of John the Baptist were called. What were they called? They came neither eating bread nor drinking wine. Fasting, prayer, focus on the Lord, repentance. What do you think you're doing? Stop it. I'm out in the desert. I'm wearing just plain clothes. So the disciples are, yes, Jesus, we'll follow you. So they go, So they say, okay, we're going to the wedding. What? We're not going out to the desert? We're not going to pray and fast and be our hearts will be rent with nothingness? No. So they go to the wedding. This is the beginning of their understanding of what it means to follow Jesus. Do you know in Luke 7, Jesus is accused of being a glutton and a drunkard? You know, that's just really, he went to parties, he enjoyed. I was talking to one of our members who would, like me, just praise that she will not be invited to parties. But Jesus, that was John the Baptist, but Jesus went to the parties. And he had a cup of something with you. And he drank with you, and he talked with you, and he laughed. And the disciples said, oh, this is being a disciple of Jesus. This is being a disciple of Jesus. John has lined up seven miraculous signs in what is called the Book of Signs. You know, people make up all this, they put it on the Bible, this is this and that. Chapters 2 to 12, there are seven miraculous signs. This sign is different from the other signs. In the other signs, somebody is blind and receives sight. Somebody has something wrong with their leg and they become healed and they run. This is not a sign of somebody who's in desperate need and who receives help. This is a sign of abundance and blessing and joy. This is how it starts. Do you feel, as you read this, you know, we're in Luke this year, do you feel the flavor of John is a little bit different? this miracle has a little different feel from the miracles in Luke. The love of God responds with deep creative compassion in most of the miracles, and this one is just joy. Following this, Jesus heads down to Jerusalem with his mother and disciples for a few days leading into Passover. Did she often travel with him at first? John never names her. It's always the mother of Christ. And after this, John does not record her traveling with Jesus until she is at the foot of the cross. So Mary is also going through a transition. She's her son's biggest fan. But things are changing now. He's going to have his disciples. And women disciples are recorded as traveling with Jesus, and Mary seems to have been part of that group. She was at the tomb with the other disciples. But after this, she's not just going to be Jesus's pal. After this, they go to Jerusalem, and then after that, his ministry takes a turn, and she just doesn't understand what he's doing anymore. But this feast, this abundance of wine is a sign of the abundance of the kingdom that Jesus is giving us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.